So I'm just going to pray for myself that I am not going to be intimidated, and I will be bold and courageous to share. So I kept asking myself, what should I share about? And then just the Lord put on my heart to share about something I learned through the courses that I took lately. And the first thing I wanted to mention is that, like, for the past 20 years when we were in the church pastoring, sometimes things would happen and I would see people struggling a lot and things like that. And I kept on asking myself, how come those people have been in the church for so many years and they are still struggling with the same issues? And like, okay, they come to church every week and they attend and they hear so many messages, but there seems to be always this particular area in their life where they are struggling and that they don't come out of it. So I was wondering, why is it so? Why people stay unchanged even though they are in the church for so many years? So after I took the course, I took physical healing and then I took the courses on deliverance. So from the courses, I felt that what really is missing from those situations is that the church has not really followed the example that Jesus taught us in the Bible, the way he was doing ministry. So I'm just going to share a little bit. So if you go to the book of Mark, chapter 1, so you will see that the first miracle that that Jesus did, mentioned in the book of Mark, chapter 1, so when he went to Capernaum, verse 21, he went to the synagogue and the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them with someone with authority. And then there was a man in the synagogue who was possessed with an impure spirit, and he cried out, and Jesus told him to be quiet, not the man, but the spirit that was speaking through the man. And then he commanded the spirit to leave, and the spirit left. So the person was delivered, and that person was in the synagogue. And then after that, we see that Jesus healed many people in the synagogue, and he healed Simon's mother-in-law after that was sick. And then it says in verse 32 that in the evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. And he also drove out many demons. So when you read in Mark, and also when you read in the accounts of Luke chapter 4, you will see that all the time Jesus was doing three things at the same time. He was teaching the people, he was healing the people, and he was ministering deliverance to the people. So those three things were done together at the same time. Not only preaching, not only healing the sick, but also casting out demons and setting the people free. So unfortunately, the church stopped doing this model. They separated things. You go to church now, you just sit down and listen to a sermon, and that's it. So preaching only. And sometimes they would have like a healing service, or if somebody is sick, they would come in and you just pray for the sick. But the three things are not done together. And also in the early church, when people became believers, they used to baptize the person, and they used to have like not a deliverance session, but the people used to confess their sins, and they were delivered. So this was done in the early church, but unfortunately, it's not done right now. So when people just accept the Lord, like if you have a sermon, and then you have an invitation, if whoever wants to accept the Lord in their life, okay, they come forward, and then you pray with them, okay, Jesus loves you, he paid for your sins, you have eternal life, your sins are forgiven, but it's not really done like it used to be done in the past, that people would confess their sins and repent of things that they used to do and then be delivered. This is not happening. So my conviction is that because this is not happening, because we are not following the example of Jesus as he used to minister, in the Gospels. That's why people come to church. Yes, they receive salvation. Yes, they are born again. Yes, they are going to heaven. They have eternal life, but they continue in life with the baggage that they had before accepting the Lord, before becoming believers. So they move on with the same strongholds, with the same, sometimes, unless, you know, God intervenes and then, you know, something happens and then someone talks to them and whatever. But many times people accept the Lord and come into this new life. They attend church, but they continue with the struggles that they have. And it's unfortunate because it creates a lot of problem for them and for people around them. So yeah, that's one thing. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about deliverance, and I have to put my glasses on because I scribbled what I wanted to say. So yeah, so every person, every one of us, we know that we are spiritual beings, and we have a soul, and we live in a body. So we communicate with God with our spirits, and if there is if this relationship between us and God is broken somehow, or it's not, we are not in right relationship with God, then darkness can invade, and then it will affect the other, our other parts. It will affect our soul. It will affect our bodies. So as we know that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and then he manifests his presence in our spirits by making us away from God, by forbidding us from coming into relationship with God, and blocking us from coming to know the Lord. And also he can affect our minds, and he can affect our bodies, obviously, with sicknesses and things like that. So I'm not going to talk about like what's the origin of demons and how, what are they, because there is many explanation. It doesn't say in the Bible what are the origins of the demons, but we know from the Bible what they do. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. They bring sickness. They affect people in various ways, but we don't know their origin. There is many explanations. Some people think or say that they are fallen angels. Some people say that they are beings without bodies, disembodied beings, and that's why they want to live in a body, so they come and occupy some people. And there is many I think there is three or more explanations, but I'm not gonna get into that. So I'm just gonna talk a little bit about the way that demons can invade a person. Now, before I say that, I think the main problem where people don't accept the fact that, okay, that somebody can have a demon or whatever, is because of the words used. So when the word possessed, when people say, oh, this person is demon possessed, this makes people like, you know, how can you say that? How can you say I'm demon possessed and whatever? But it's the wrong use of words that makes it this way. So if you look at the Greek word, it's not really possessed, because if you are, certainly if you are not a believer, you can be possessed. But if you are a believer, you cannot be possessed, because you belong to Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, so you cannot be possessed. But there can be areas in your life that are under the influence of Satan, which is the word demonized, not possessed. Oppress or demonize, which is like under the influence. Certain areas in your life can be under the influence of demons. So that being said, how can a person come under the influence of demons? There is several ways that this can happen. But for example, if one of the ways that this can happen is through generational sins. For example, that when there is a pattern of certain sins in a family, as you inherit the traits and the features from your parents, you can also inherit certain problems or certain demons. For example, certain families like struggle all the time with anger. For example, you would see that the dad or the grandparent, for example, was very angry. They had rage and whatever, and then the the son has the same, and then the grandchildren, they have, they struggle with the same issue. So generational sins can be passed down, and you can have this demonization from this area. The second thing is that people can get under the influence of demons because of wounds and because of traumas that happen to them. So if you go, if you have a wound in your life, if something happens in your life and you have a, you become wounded, wounds are areas that that make you fragile and make you vulnerable for you to be under the influence of demons. And this is, this can happen not only if, like in when you are a grown up or a child, but it can also happen like if someone is pregnant, so in vitro, that the child can be wounded while still in the mother's womb. For example, if like if someone becomes pregnant and then for some reason or the other she doesn't want the baby, she rejects this baby, she doesn't want the baby because whatever, they don't have enough money or whatever, or she was raped or anything, so the child inside of her can have this trauma and this wound and already be born with a lot of rejection. From even before he was born, he got rejected inside the womb. So this is an area where already the demons can affect the children inside the womb. The other thing that can cause that is that emotional issues, for example, as I said, dealing with rejection or dealing with fear can make you vulnerable to have a spirit of fear inside of you. Something else is if sins are committed against the person. So if somebody sins against you, for example, somebody who suffers rape or is beaten or anything like that, so somebody sins against you, then this can open up a door for demons to come and attack you. So the other thing is that the person himself sins. So for example, if you commit a sin, like if you, for example, lie, you lie, okay, you are sinning, you have a problem, you lie. But if you continue in that particular sin for a long time, then it can become a stronghold. It can become, you can have a spirit actually controlling you. For example, if somebody decides to drink and get drunk once, okay, they got drunk once and then they stop, they decide not to get drunk anymore, that's fine. But if they continue in this a pattern of drinking or using drugs and whatever, then it can become demonization. You can be occupied, you open yourself to demons to come and make a home inside of you, basically, and be controlled by this addiction or whatever it is. So... So that's another thing. So habitual sin can open the door for you to become demonized. For example, if you, we see this in alcoholics, for example. For example, the first time someone drinks and then they can stop, whatever, nothing happens. But if they continue in it, it's not only something that is attacking you from the outside, it becomes something from the inside that is compelling you to go and get alcohol all the time, compels you to go and use weed or cocaine or whatever. So it's something from within that compels you to do that. So sins that the person himself commits. Okay, other things that can open the door to for a person to be demonized is obviously being involved in witchcraft or the occult or any false religions. Anything like that opens you to become demonized. So the other thing that can open a door is, unfortunately, negative parental influences. For example, if the parents, they reject the children for any reason, they don't love them, they basically they don't love them, they reject them, then this opens a door inside the child to become demonized by having a spirit of rejection inside of them, or fear or anything. So negative parental influences is a big thing. So people who, like, parents who use bad words to demean their children or to insult them or whatever, this can create a wound in the child and opens doors for the children to become demonized by rejection, by fear, by hatred, by anger, anything like that. Yeah, so the other thing that can open a door is the idle words that we pronounce or somebody pronounces over them. So if somebody pronounces words of, we know that the tongue can be used to bless or to curse. So people who speak curses all the time over anyone or over their children, for example, or if you even speak curses over yourself, you're actually cursing yourself and opening doors for demons to come and harm you and hurt you. So people who say, I don't know, like if we talk about parents who call their children, you're stupid, you're good at nothing, you're unworthy, whatever, this opens doors for the person feeling not loved, unworthy, rejected, and all of this, and it creates problems. Or if you curse yourself by speaking negative words over yourself, you can actually curse yourself, and those curses that you're pronouncing open doors for demons to come and hurt you. To, if you're cursing your body, for example, if you're speaking negative things over yourself, that I'm dumb or whatever, or I'm ugly, or I don't like myself, I don't like my body, things like that. The other thing is that, other thing is that we know that demons can do a lot of things. They can defile people. By defiling their thoughts, they bring images to your minds to defile you. They can entice you to do wrong things. They can torment you with thoughts, with feelings of unworthiness and things like that. They can block you from having a relationship with God. So this is some of the ways that they work. And of course, they work, we said that they can affect your spirit by blocking your relationship with God, by not making you feel God's love, by preventing people from coming to know the Lord, for example. They can affect your feelings, your emotions, and they can also affect, obviously, your physical body, which is one of the things. So a lot of people, when we read in the Gospels, sometimes Jesus would heal the sick, and sometimes he would rebuke the demons, and when the demons are rebuked and they leave, then the person gets healed. So one of the ways is that demon can cause sicknesses as well. After all this talk about demons, like, is there a way for people to become free? Yes, there is a way to become free. And actually, the way is not very difficult, but unfortunately, I think the main hindrance or obstacle for people to become free is that many times the people, they don't know that they have a problem. So once you realize that you have a problem and something is not normal, so if someone is struggling all the time, there is an area in their life where they always struggle. It might be, and I'm not saying that 100% it is this way, but it might be if they tried everything else and nothing is working, then it might be that there is, you know, demonic influence over this area of their life. And then once they realize that, then it's very easy to get rid of it and fix the problem. But many times people are, they don't know, or they are not willing to accept the idea that maybe this is something from the devil. So that's what I think. So the way to be free is that it's very easy. If you just, nobody that came to Jesus with a problem, whether it was healing or whether it was someone who was demonized, for example, Jesus always freed the person. It's not, and he operated with authority, as we saw in the part that I read, that the people were amazed when he was in the synagogue because he was talking with authority, not like the Pharisees. So the first thing, I believe, is that the person recognizes that they have a problem. And once they come to Jesus, the best way to do it, from, that's my opinion, is that, because I've seen a lot of people that come and they receive prayers and okay, they receive many deliverance from evil spirits, but then it's short-lived. It doesn't last, because after some time they have the same problem again, over and over again. Because I believe, like, from taking this course and from the past experience in the church for so many years, I believe the person needs to be involved in his journey of freedom. It's because being delivered from this demonic influence is not, it's not really a power encounter. We're not just, you know, putting our hands on the person and rebuking the evil spirits, get out in Jesus' name, and that's it. It's not a power encounter. I believe it's more that a love encounter. The person needs to come to know that the Lord loves them, that they are worthy, that it's not God's intention for them to live this way or to have those struggles in life. They need a love encounter with Jesus, and they need to come to him and be immersed in his love, and they need to know the root of the problem. Because if you know the root of the problem, then it's very easy for the demons to leave afterwards, because you just use your authority and command them to leave in the name of Jesus, and they have to leave. And as believers, if we read the part in Ephesians that the Lord has was raised from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has given us authority, and he took captives and all of that for the church, for the purpose of the church. As the believers, we have to use this authority and what he accomplished for us, so that we can do this and use this for the church, for the people who are struggling. So deliverance is for the believers, actually. It's for every one of us who has issues. Like, even what they teach, if that when someone comes to you for deliverance, or if someone manifesting, you can't actually do deliverance on them unless they accept the Lord first. Because if they don't accept the Lord, you can rebuke the spirits and they will leave, but they will come back. And as Jesus said, they will come back worse. Mm-hmm. They will bring seven more and come, and the situation for that person will be worse. So deliverance is actually for the believers. It's for us. It's for us. So basically, the key to accomplish a deliverance and to have a successful deliverance ministry is that you need to know the areas where those demons were allowed to enter. Why do they have access to your life? So, for example, we talked about a lot of the ways that people can be demonized. One of them is sin. So if there is sin in the person's life, he needs to repent of his sins or her sins. And then after that, the spirits can be commanded to leave, and they will leave. This is one thing. But if there is wounds, for example, if somebody was molested or somebody was raped and whatever, there needs to be healing as well, inner healing from what happened. And there should be also, of course, forgiveness for the person who does that, because many people cannot be free because they never have forgiven whoever sinned against them. So forgiveness is a big thing, and unforgiveness is one of the reasons that why people don't get free, because they have bitterness and unforgiveness inside of them, and if they don't let go of that, they cannot be free. So forgiveness is very important for in deliverance ministry. They need to forgive, to be able to forgive the people who hurt them or sinned against them, forgive themselves also for the sins that they committed against themselves. Because maybe you were using drugs or whatever, and you are addicted to drugs and whatever. You cannot be free unless you know what led you to this place. What kind of wounds do you have inside that allowed those spirits to come in? Because if you don't close the wound, then the spirits can come back again. So that's one thing. So repentance, renouncing sins, renouncing the sins, renouncing behavior, renouncing wrong beliefs that you maybe have about yourself or about others. So you have to renounce those things. And then basically the person, after you renounce and you forgive and all of that, you just rebuke the spirits in the name of Jesus and with the authority that he has given us, and those spirits have to leave. That's basically it. I have more, but Yeah, so one hour, huh?
You have
5 minutes. 5 minutes? Oh, wow. Okay, so one of the other things that that can make people become under the influence of demons is something that we call strongholds. Strongholds is basically a pattern of thinking, a pattern that you think, and this pattern of thinking is controlling your life. And it can be used by Satan, by the demons, to control your life. And obviously with the patterns of thinking that are not biblical, that are against God's word and the truth of God's word. And it can be something individual for yourself, or it can be like a cultural thing. You can see it like in a society or in a cultural, for example, that it's, there is a stronghold over this place or over this culture. For example, liberalism. So everyone thinks in a liberal way. This is a stronghold that's affecting the entire society, for example. Things like that, or superiority. For example, we, this race, we are superior than others. The whites are better than the Asians or whatever. So this is a stronghold that's affecting an entire population. So it's a wrong way of thinking. So for example, on your personal life, for example, there can be a stronghold of I'm worthless. Nobody loves me. Everyone doesn't like me. Nobody, I'm nothing. Nobody respects what I say. Nobody listens to me. Things like that, patterns of thinking that you develop for a reason or the other. Maybe because you were mistreated as a child, for example, your parent didn't give you value or something, so that you develop this pattern of thinking that controls your entire life. So everywhere you go, for example, in community, in church, at work, you feel that everybody is against you, everybody doesn't love you, things like that. Why? Because you have this stronghold in your mind that is controlling you. So basically everywhere you go, you will have this problem. At work, you will have it. At home, you will have it. With your spouse, you will have it. So something like that. So in order to be set free from that, first of all, you have to recognize that you have this problem. It's not normal. Why am I thinking this way? Where is the gap in my life that caused those demons of I'm not worthy or whatever, or low self-esteem or self-pity or whatever to come in? If it was because somebody sinned against you, let's say your parents mistreated you or insulted you all the time or made fun of you or whatever, that's why you feel this way, then it's, in this case, for example, it's necessary to forgive the parents and release them, and then those things can be commanded to leave, and then the person can be set free from that. But sometimes also, like we said, demonization can happen because somebody sins against you or because something wrong happened to you, but it can happen also because of things that you didn't have. So it's not that you were mistreated or abused or raped or whatever. Those can cause you to be demonized, but also things that you didn't have in life can cause you to be demonized as well, or can have an access or a door for you, for the demons to affect your life. For example, people who were, I'm going to speak about myself, people who growing up, for example, they didn't have a father figure or they didn't have a father, can have areas of their life that are under the control of demons, not because something bad happened to them, but because something good did not happen to them. So they didn't have this love, or they didn't have this. So it's a lack issue. It's not something bad happened, but something good did not happen. You did not have the father figure. You did not have the love or the affirmation that you needed. So you grew up feeling, I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I'm not important. Because, not because something bad happened, but because you didn't have this. It's an area of lack in your life. And this can be healed actually in community. It can be healed in a church community, in a family environment where you can experience the love and the care that you missed as a child, for example. So it's a different way of getting delivered. Some people, for example, who had who have this struggle in their life where they are like greedy and after money and things like that in life, it's not because, it's because they didn't have it. They grew up in poverty. They didn't have that, so they are just grieving it, and it's controlling and consuming their life and leading them maybe to do bad things in order to get the money and stuff like that. So so the lack also can make a person become demonized in their emotion or in their thought patterns. The other things that can affect people is the judgments that people pronounce over you, or people, or that you pronounce over other people. This can have a negative impact as well. So it acts as a blessing or as a curse. So people who pronounce judgment on you can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. So if they speak a bad thing, those judgments can cause it acts like a curse. It's as if somebody is cursing you, and those curses, of course, they attract demons, and they make you become under the influence of those demons. So in this case, forgiveness is very important. You have to forgive those people who pronounce this judgment, or if you pronounce judgment over yourself, you have also forgive yourself, for repent of saying those things, forgive yourself. And also it's very important to if you said a bad thing, or if you pronounced a bad judgment over others or over yourself, you have to right the wrong. You have to start speaking the opposite. You have to start speaking the truth of God's word over your life. Yeah, so basically this is what I have to share. There's a lot more, but So freedom is not very difficult to achieve. You just have to be open for God, like to ask God, basically, is there something in my life or a pattern of behavior, or if things keep on repeating themselves and the same things happen over and over again, just sit down with the Lord and ask yourself, is there something wrong here? Is there something demonic here? Is there something I need to repent of or renounce those things, and then ask God to set you free from those things.
Amen.
And that's it. Yeah.